Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. This week, our guest on the show is West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. Thanks so much for being with us. As you're listening, remember, you can keep emailing questions for Mayor Dennis to ask, that's A-S-K, at WBAA.org. Good afternoon, Mayor.
How are you doing, Emily?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I don't know if you've noticed, but it's getting kind of chilly out there.
It certainly is,
I heard you do
Mayor.
The weather, and I'm a running guy. I run outside, and it's kind of good and bad news all together. It's good because you don't, sweat so much, and you don't have the potential of, dehydrating. But it's bad because it's cold, and it's windy, and I'm old, and it's harder.
How do you layer as you're running in the winter, or the fall, rather? As the seasons are changing, how do you modify? What do you do?
You just it's like a deck of cards. You just stack, Okay. I run up and down 231, and it's kind of funny. Every now and again, I get this bright green thing so that people run over me. At least if they do run over me, it's on purpose. So anyway, I do take that off and I wrap it around my waist. And I've learned as I age something else that's fading slightly. And maybe some of the professors at Purdue can explain this to me, but my coordination seems to be getting a little bit less.
Okay.
So as I'm tying this thing around my waist, I have to be really careful so that when I'm moving, I don't stumble and collapse and just end up in a heap on a trail somewhere.
Actually, that transitions really nicely into a listener question we have from Brad. So thanks for that, Mayor. Okay, so let's start off with this. So with the announcement of the grant from the Indiana State Department of Health for plans to make West Lafayette more pedestrian and bike friendly, is there any consideration for a paved trail along Soldiers Home Road, specifically after the sidewalks and bike lanes and north of Hamilton Street? Extending a trail past the Veterans Home would be a huge safety improvement, as the number of bikers and joggers through these curves is only increasing as more homes are built in this area. Thank you for your question, Brad. Mayor, what say
That's a
you?
Great question.
What is it? What is your answer?
Yes, but eventually. The way things work when we do road projects, and this is a long kind of answer, and I apologize. Oftentimes you'll look at a road or a street or something like that and say, there's a lot of potholes here, and they need to do something about the road, or the paint's fading, or in some cases, the area around it develops, and there's a need for pedestrian trails, something that could, assist people in being safe when they're not necessarily in a car. And we do that. We're well aware of that. And that's kind of what local government does at its best. But the challenge that we have is trying to keep a logical and practical way to do that so that we're not basically just, like chasing flies. So we do what's called a street diet. And in normal terms, that's called an audit. And we have folks that work with our street department, folks that work with our engineering department. They go through neighborhoods, they go up and down our major arterials, they go through all different kinds of roads, streets, sidewalks, trails, et cetera.
Okay.
And they see the kind of condition that they're in. And then they go ahead and put them on a schedule because these guys are really good at what they do. And they can say, it's getting a little rough in the edges. Maybe there's some cracks going on in the center. This will probably need to have some work done on X date. And so we go ahead and put it in this diet, and that way we can target revenue to get them done. Now, having said that, if there's an emergency, obviously we're going to move forward and do that. We're not ignorant to the fact that some things just break. The other thing, but what's more importantly is that when you talk about government financing, when you talk about government funding, when you talk about grants and other things that we use to make sure our streets, trails, and sidewalks are all up to snuff, it's in our best interest to have that kind of methodology when we're looking at trying to spend taxpayers' dollars.
Okay.
The other thing is that some of the roads have not had any major engineering for quite some time. So when we look at a road like Soldiers Home Road, especially as you get just a little bit before Soldiers Home and then a little bit after, there's some challenging corners in there. And again, me as a motorcycle guy, I kind of like them, but that's selfish. But we're looking to sort of soften those curbs. So that is going to be a major project. It is on our radar. It's probably still a couple years out. But in the interim, we're trying to make sure that if our neighborhoods, like we've got a lot of sidewalks and trails in our neighborhoods, and if there's a way we could do a soft link between our neighborhoods, we'll be more than happy to do so. But in the interim, You know, we always tell everybody, whether there's a dedicated trail, whether it is just a line on a piece of asphalt, be very, very aware that vehicles sometimes don't pay attention to anything except for what's immediately in front of them. So please, all bicyclists, wear your helmets, have some bright clothing on, and make sure you've got reflectors and flashing lights when you ride.
Okay. This actually just popped into my inbox from Chris. Chris says, hi.
Hi, Chris.
Is there a plan to smooth out the dip at the intersection of Salisbury and the street to the Payless store? It really slows down traffic. I avoid it as much as possible. Do you know the dip of which he speaks?
No, but like there is really a kind of a generic answer. This is generic answer day.
Okay.
There is kind of a way that we look at those things. Obviously, if it's a hazard, we need to be made aware of it specifically so we can go ahead and take the appropriate action to sort of remediate that.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's the parking lot, depending upon where it is, it's possible that it could be Payless.
Okay.
That would be more responsible for it than we would be. But as local government, we're in a position to make a very strong suggestion that they take care of it. I know when that intersection was signalized, we did a lot of engineering work there. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it's ours so we can take care of it. And it's really important, listeners out there in radio land. Didn't that sound like a 60s DJ?
It sounded great. Keep going.
Keep talking, John. You're on a roll. It's really important that we do get that kind of guidance from our citizenry. If we don't know if something's broken, we really aren't in a position to be able to fix it. And there's a lot of streets, sidewalks, trails, connectors, arterials that get a lot of traffic and that have a really adverse reaction to the freeze and thaw process that we go through every year. So our street department and our engineer's office are very in tune with that. So if something should come up, please don't hesitate to either send me an email and I get it to the right folks or call the street department or engineering department and they go ahead and take care of that for you.
Okay, we do have another listener question that came in right before the show started.
Right.
Someone called in. Mm-hmm. They're asking about future sewer work on Vine Street. Residents between Meridian and Stadium are concerned about it aggravating the current rat problem. What is the city going to do about containing the rat problem?
Well, I presume they're not talking about the West Lafayette High School Red Devils because we used to be known as the River Rats, right? Right?
That's amazing.
That's before your time. I know. I can make an anecdote out of anything.
So to their question, is that a concern? And then if that is a concern, then what is the city going to do about that?
Wow. Well, anytime we have any type of invasive rodent, I mean, we need to know like now about that. We've got traps and we've got humane ways of going ahead and trying to control that. Generally speaking, when we do road projects, a lot of what we do has more to do with road work and engineering, like asphalt, concrete, and curbs and things like that, than any particular species. Then it might be illegitimately creating a habitat there. But having said that, if there's a problem, please let us know. I mean, we are definitely in a position to go ahead and do something to try and eliminate that in the best way possible. I myself, usually when I'm out, because as I alluded to early on in the show, I run a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest challenge that I've seen are possums.
Okay.
Yeah, they seem to want to get into a lot of stuff in our more, especially on trash day in our neighborhoods. But the same thing applies. We have an animal control folks. We've got our neighborhood resource team that's responsive to that. And if need be, police and fire if there's a real serious problem. But like anything else, you know, we can fix what we're aware of. And hopefully by having, you know, this conversation on a radio show, we can go ahead and get some staff alerted to that. And I'll give them a call when I'm done.
Okay. You are listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. We're talking right now with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. As you're listening, you can keep emailing questions in for Mayor Dennis to ask@wbaa.org. Okay. So Indiana now in stage 5. As of this past Saturday, we were supposed to be at that stage on July 4th. Obviously, that got delayed. So we're essentially opened up at full capacity. There are some statewide restrictions remaining around restaurants. We still have a mask mandate. But we're here. So what does that look like in West Lafayette? You know, what changes here for businesses and what stays the same? You know, what are you thinking about and watching for?
Well, you know, we live in a real unique city. We've got a college that has about somewhere between 40 and 45,000 people. We've got a city that has somewhere between 40 and 45,000 people. So on any given day, when you include workers and things like that, we probably have around 100,000 people in our community. And geographically, we're relatively small. We're a relatively small geographic footprint. So our density is significant. We are one of the most densely populated cities in the state of Indiana. And believe it or not, we're in the top end of densely populated cities in the country. So that presents a challenge to us. And I feel very strongly that my job is to try and look after the people that I serve, whether it be the lifetimers or the temporary ones like students and visitors that are coming here to work. And I think if you look back how we have been behaving here in the city of West Lafayette when it comes to COVID, I'm pretty tough about it. I strongly believe in wearing masks. I strongly believe in washing hands, social distancing, and anything that we can do to help prevent the transmission of that virus. So we are going to be staying in West Lafayette at 4.5 plus. So what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, I will tell you. I don't want people to think that it means that everything's off, that we're just going to go back to some form of normalcy. Because personally speaking, and this is just me talking, I feel as though we are leaning more towards treatment now than prevention.
Okay.
And I don't know that that's necessarily the right direction to go. And when I say we, I mean the state, in some cases the country, and fearfully so, maybe even sometimes here in the county. And I'm not a real strong supporter of that. I still think we need to, you know, be all hands on deck when it comes to prevention by going through some of the protocols that we have been most recently. But I believe that there's going to be, we're going to stay at the 4.5. I know that the health department is pretty strongly in favor of that. The only thing that might change is loosening up the bar hours from midnight to 1.
Right.
That's about the only thing that I could reluctantly have a modicum of support for. But other than that, you know, I just don't think we're ready yet, you know. And I know that when we start having more conversations about the available bed space in hospitals and more conversations about the ability to treat people who are infected with COVID, that concerns me because I still think we need to really focus more on prevention. We need to focus on the ABCs of how to not get infected. We need to focus on keeping ourselves healthy, on keeping our social distance by not doing silly things like having big parties without people wearing masks or anything, and be respectful of people who are sensitive to viruses and diseases. Treatment's important. I agree with that. But I'm fearful that if we forget about where we've been and the potential of things getting back to that. Nobody wants us to shut back down again. Nobody wants us to go back to those early days of COVID. I still think we need to focus on prevention first and treatment second, not treatment first and then prevention.
And we've talked about this before. I have asked other local officials this before. I asked Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton this last week. You know, how are people going to react if we have to go back to an earlier stage? Because as I was saying to Mayor Barton last week, there is no there's no stage 6. You know, we're in the final phase. So the state would only be returning to a previous phase. And he was not optimistic. At least about how people in his neck of the woods would react to that.
To going back.
You know, and I've had conversations, you know, with even just about people's level of fatigue right now. Mm-hmm. Well, and that is very real. But, you know, how do you think, you know, how do we grapple with that? If things start getting worse, as we head indoors, as cases possibly go up, these are all question marks right now. You know, how do we keep people on board, even though the state is saying we're back open?
Well, I can tell you from personal experience about how people react to being told what to do by government. When I did my mask mandate, and I think we had this conversation at some level last month, my inbox lit up, my phone lit up, and it was not very pleasant. Mm-hmm. You remember what I did in my former life?
I do.
I was a police officer.
Yes.
And I was receiving emails that, had I received them as a police officer, I probably would have done some research and found out where they lived, and seeing if we couldn't have done something from the enforcement side. They were threatening, they were disrespectful, they were rude, they were crude, they were insulting, and they really were unnecessary for where we are, not just as a city, but as a country right now. And that really taught me a lesson about human nature. And I'm not a psychiatrist, I don't play one at home, I just read a lot. So, but people always want to see progress. They want to see progress in their cities, their counties, their countries. They want to see progress and positive messaging from their elected officials. We live in sort of a world now where negativity really has a much more adverse impact on humanity than it did maybe, you know, 2-3 years ago. And I think that we need to try and keep that understanding. Should we need to go backwards? Should we need to reintroduce people to the restrictions that we had maybe, you know, 2 months ago? And make people aware of the fact that this isn't something that we want to do. If you believe that COVID has the potential to be a deadly virus, if you believe that the numbers are indicating, I mean, they are even this week, the numbers are going up. That the lessons are not being learned, or at least they're not being, the instructions on how to be safe aren't being adhered to, then we only have ourselves to blame. Now, having said all of that, leadership at all different levels of government, whether it be at the very, very top or down at local level, have different opinions about that. And my opinion is somewhat strong on the preventative side. You know, if you talk to doctors, if you look at some of the bed space in hospitals, if you look at some of the invasive treatment protocol that has to be done should you contract COVID, it ain't pleasant and it ain't pretty. And then you look at the recovery rate, and then you look at the recovery time. Again, not pretty, not cool. Personal freedoms are important. I get it. Personal freedoms are important. But, you know, we either accept the reality of this, or we just roll the dice and say, well, I hope it's not me.
How often are local officials meeting, I mean, electronically or otherwise, to talk about and decide kind of what's happening with the COVID response in this area? You know, how has that changed over time, say, since March, when this kind of, you know, started becoming a more prevalent topic?
Well, we meet every other week with the health department for the health department review. And listeners out there in Radio Land, well, I've used that twice, haven't I?
It's okay. Right.
I mean, they know the relationship that we have here in West Lafayette with our county commissioners in the city of Lafayette. They know what Tony and I are like. They know what Tony Tracy and I are like. We serve together as police officers, so we've got a pretty tight bond. So we communicate frequently. But there is not a soul in that conversation that is not acutely aware of the differences between our community. You know, when Mayor Wazorski has conversations with his citizenry and they're saying, Tony, tell you what, you know, that hour makes a big difference to me and my business and my family and my take-home pay. I am losing money by that hour going away. He's got a very strong, passionate argument about us considering that 1 o'clock.
Right.
When Tracy Browns has the same argument about issues going on within Tippecanoe County, strong argument. And then when I have sort of an opposite argument saying, I need more restrictions because I can't, I mean, with my population density and the age demographic of my population density, I need more restrictions. So they're all responsive to that. And they do understand that there is that possibility, however remote it might be, should things get worse, there might be a separate application of COVID legislation to each unique community. Now, I'm not saying that's a probability. It's a possibility. Because look at who we are, look at what we have, and look at who we serve. And you know, local government here has been working collaboratively for, I can speak for the last 13 years. And that's not going to stop. But Tony and the county commissioners have to be responsive to the people that picked them and that they and who they serve, as do I. The dark side of that is I'm not naive to think that there's this social wall out there that would prohibit the cross-contamination with people who either go into Lafayette, to socialize or come into West Lafayette to socialize or at Purdue events, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So long answer short, yes, we work very closely together. Yes, we acknowledge each other's uniqueness. And yes, we try to make sure that whatever we do is going to be in the best interest of the general population that we serve.
So the health department did kind of issue an amendment about establishments staying open until 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And Mayor Wiswirski definitely wanted that. And then outdoor seating spaces at restaurants operating at full capacity, again, with that social distancing in place. You know, have you considered an outdoor eating program like the one that was just extended in Lafayette through the start of November? I know that would look different in West Lafayette, but, you know, a lot of places are utilizing that as a method of kind of getting around some of those restrictions and keeping people outside. So, have you considered that?
Yeah, I have. I've given it some thought. You know, the funny thing about a lot of what happens, excuse me, is sometimes the caveats to some of these loosening of restrictions prohibit the problem that people fear. What do you mean by that, John?
What do you mean by that, Mayor?
Thank you very much. What I mean is that if we maintain social distancing and we maintain all of those type of requirements when it comes to spacing, the idea of having 100% outside occupancy is eliminated. There still has to be the necessary social distancing.
Right.
So in essence, what you were doing is keeping that at a lower level. The other thing is there's restrictions on space. I mean, there's just not that much space. It's not like you could put, you know, 500 chairs in an alley behind your business or an open field, you know, or your parking lot even to some degree because of the fact that it couldn't be covered in inclement weather. But if it's creative, I think it's cool. If it's safe, I can support it. But the big operative there is safe. And the last thing I want to see is a business close because of a temporary situation that, fingers crossed, touch wood, is going to go away, hopefully, in the next few months. And I know that's naive, but as long as we can figure out how to do this and do it in a way that's going to be mutually beneficial, I think we're all going to get through this a lot better.
So Big Ten football is coming back this month, and there won't be a big crowd of fans at the games. This is obviously going to be an atypical season, but you know, we talked earlier this summer about the negative financial impact of not having home games, and so again, granting that this is not going to be business as usual, you know, what is the city thinking about and planning for right now in terms of how and where people are still going to be gathering and watching these games? What is that going to look like?
It's going to look messy.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about that. We are in a position right now to give the best advice ever. You know, we've been telling folks, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to do it. And if you don't, then if it requires us to take some aggressive enforcement action, we will. But we're dealing with a population base here that has a lot of curiosity. They're bold, and sometimes they're brazen, and sometimes they're just downright disrespectful. We have already had to intervene in some large groups that were gathering. We have already had to knock on a few doors and make some suggestions in regards to what they're doing both inside and outside. Our population, because we have such an integration of students into our neighborhoods, our population is acutely aware of the potential of our students' misbehavior having a negative impact on their own personal health and safety. So they let us know. And the cool thing about it is that oftentimes an official warning, somebody in a uniform, somebody in some official capacity with the city, solves the problem. Because if there's anybody you don't want to mess with, it's President Mitch Daniels. He has made it abundantly clear you either abide or you're going to get you're going to go home. I mean, you're not going to finish out. And none of the students want to go back to e-learning. So I think there's a very strong motivation on the part of students, on the part of the citizens in West Lafayette, whether they be young or old, to comply. I mean, because let's face it, this isn't going to go away by everybody seeing what they can get away with. This isn't going to go away by cheating the system. You know, this is going to go away by everybody abiding by the requirements of prevention, not focusing on treatment, focusing on prevention, pulling on the same side of the rope, and getting this thing the hell out of here.
what is the economic impact going to be? Is there, you know, a boost to having games, period, even if they're not being done in the traditional way? What does that look like? You know, how does that help local businesses?
Well, local businesses, obviously, there will be some degree of increase with people attending. They'll be going inside. They'll be having dinners if they've been at some event that didn't serve food. They'll be going inside bars to the point where they can reach that capacity. But I think there's another issue at stake here, and it is the sort of the community morale issue, the upbeat, the positivity of getting some semblance of normalcy back into our lives. I don't know if you've watched any sporting events on TV, but those silly cutout things that's kind of freaky, but at least it's the right thing. And then the other thing is the soundtrack that they play for games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what a great job being the dude that's got the keyboard that you have to hit the cheer or the boo or the scream or the yay or the, I mean, you know, maybe that'll be my job when I retire from here. I'll be the
keyboard. I think you would actually be pretty good at that.
I would, but of course I might hit the wrong button at the wrong time if I don't. But I mean, we are going through a strange period in our time. When you think about what our parents and grandparents went through with World War II, or, you know, the flu of 1918, that pandemic, some of the social issues that we've dealt with in our lives. This is another one of those challenges that really does show what type of community, state, and country that we are, and how much integrity we have when it comes to looking after ourselves and each other.
So we got a listener question that I simply must read to you.
Uh-huh.
This is from Tom. Tom says, hi.
Howdy, Tom.
I heard Mayor Dennis's reference to the West Lafayette Red Devils having previously been the River Rats. This caught my attention since I've always been offended by the Red Devil mascot at the school. I've had children in the school system for the last 8 years, and I am still taken aback every time I see the image of the Red Devil. Maybe the mayor can give some background on why the symbol was chosen as a mascot when it is clearly religious, and beyond that, the personification of evil in several religions. I think the River Rat is a much better alternative.
Well, all I know is what the history of the River Rat was, as I was told when I was a kid going to school there. There was, back in the early to mid 60s, a thing called the Rat Fink.
Okay.
And everybody's going to have to hit Google that. And it's like this rat that was doing the peace sign, had a peace shirt on. And that became kind of the icon for the River Rat. Now, we were always called the River Rats because of our proximity to the river.
Sure.
So the Wabash River. So that's where I think that came from. This is kind of weird, because didn't we talk about rats early on in the show?
I think that the rat conversation caught his ear. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is exactly why. I think because of the river, because of river rats, and then the West Lafayette High School kind of lacking a mascot.
Okay, that's our time for today. Mayor Dennis, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks so much, Emily.
You can find this program at our website, wbaa.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. You can continue to send us your questions for all four of our mayors to ask, that's A-S-K, at wbaa.org. Thanks for listening, and have a great rest of the day.